Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. We thank God for a new Saturday and the last in January. It's amazing. It's as if I don't know how the calendar is moving and the time is moving, because December, well, I mean, we just remember it like just yesterday, but all too soon, 1 month is gone. And this is a reminder to everyone listening that if you have something to do, don't procrastinate, because the year started and 1 month is just gone. I mean, you just can't account for it. I mean, January is ending tonight. And February, by the time I realized, the year is ending again. And then it's like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. So if you have something to do, just do it. I mean, just do it. Because procrastination is just going to deny you the opportunities and all that. That's how fast the year is moving and time is moving. Last week I started talking about beyond the prayer and the fasting, some things we have to also factor in, and time is also one of the things. I mean, you have people who pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast, and after, they are just going to waste the time as they've been doing every year, and the year will end and there's nothing to show for it, and it's like God didn't this, God didn't that, but then they forget that they didn't use their time wisely. You know, there's this verse that is so important: redeeming the time, redeeming the time. I mean, I'll read it fully when I get into it. So tonight we'll be talking about the time aspect, but first look into the news, a few things happening in the news. But first, let me just talk about something, that few things that this week really got me extremely worried. Number one is, I saw one news report in which some parents in the UK and in some countries, parents are taking their children to job interviews. They are going with them, job interviews. And I mean, the journalist or the program, the report, I mean, the show, they were worried and it's like surprised, as I was as well, because if, as parents, your child has finished school, tertiary education, and you still have to hold their hand to a job interview, and instances that they sit in with them, and I wonder which companies will even allow that in the first place. Because clearly, if you come like that, that means you don't even qualify, you're not ready to work, you are still a child. I mean, but it shows the immaturity of this generation, the Gen Z now, and the reports are very worrying, because it's like they cannot think. I saw under reports some universities in the US, the lecturers are struggling, because they said people come to the university and they can't read one sentence without one sentence. They can't read a string of one sentence, just one sentence. They can't read it. And yet they are in the university. Another set of universities too, they are introducing high school maths in the university, first year for freshers. because their maths is just too bad. They have to take them through high school maths before they get into the university course itself. This is, yes, outside, but then if you come to Ghana, I have friends who are lecturers, and they are also complaining about the immaturity of our teenagers and our youth here when they are at the universities. And you realize the critical thinking is just not there. They are people who are behaving like robots. It's even better sometimes. It's like they are just zombies. Yes, that's the right word. They just don't know what to do. You tell them A, they expect that you tell them B and C again, and then come and say D and E. It's like they just can't think for themselves. And these are very disturbing issues, because, you know, as parents, if these things are happening to our children, the number one blame is not the educational system. Yes, the educational system has its faults and all that, but ultimately, the number one blame is the parents. Number one blame goes to the parents. Because, you see, if we don't make the effort to help the children, you know, I remember this early part of this month, my son was going to one school in Accra, and, you know, I had to take him there because he doesn't know Accra, and that area and all that. So, okay, but when I took him, I just took him there for him to go and do the whole thing himself, the registration, whatever. I didn't go with him. I was just waiting. He went and did all that. And I was amazed when I saw other parents came and they are walking with the children from one this place to the other, going with the children. And it's like, come on. Can't you allow the child to grow? Let them be mature and do things themselves. And it's like, this is how life, you see. So parents, people are just virtually not helping their children by some of the things they are doing. So when will the child grow? If you hold the hand at every stage, from primary school, from KG, you've held the hand at primary school, to BC, JHS, high school, secondary school, at the university, getting into the university too, you are helping your child to move from one office to go and register to another, working. Oh no. You see? And this is what is happening. So this is the same type of parents who, when their children need a job, they are writing the applications for their children and going to the interviews with them, as I just said earlier, in some countries. This is what is happening. So we have an issue with this generation, and it's the mandate of parents to know that there's a general societal problem. But if you don't want your child or children to be part of this canker or this breakdown in critical thinking and common sense, if you know something, you just can't, they lack it. It is the duty of parents to do something, because the earlier we do something, the better. Because the way the world is going, you know, this morning I was thinking about this thing, reflect, and see, they have, when I say they, I mean the globalists, the liberal system, you know, the worldly system as we know it, they've been able to make the society, quote and unquote, stop it. And see, all this is part of the Antichrist system, to the point where when the Antichrist comes, people cannot, they won't ask questions, because they've become so stupid that they'll just follow like sheep to the slaughterhouse, because they just wouldn't even reason to ask questions. And this is what makes it dangerous, because you realize the generation, people are just not thinking again. People are just not thinking again. Critical questions people are not asking again. It's like people just follow anything without reasoning. And this is why parents should be concerned. And you see, it shouldn't start at when they are at the university before you now start it young. You should be able to let them. God willing, this year we'll be talking about it. I'll be having Lady Pastor Hetty joined the course of this year in some of these discussions. She is a trained psychologist and educationist and all. So we'll be really, because it's not something we should take it lightly, because the reports and the things I see, it should be worrying, and parents should be worried. You see, it's not too late though, if that's how unfortunately your child or your children are now, but it's better something, one, identifying and recognizing that there's a problem is the starting point. Then if at least you recognize that, then the solution can follow. So I think yes, this is and then the final thing, which I that one is more of a spiritual church issue, as to why, you know, we are making Christianity a mockery sometimes in the eyes of non-believers, and in this case I mean some of the prophets. MPP is going to do their primaries. What has that got to do with the church being so overly interested in this? And then, so you prophesy Baumia will win, and so what? What does that, what value does that add to the body of Christ? What value is it? You saying he would win, what is the value of it to the church, to the value, the body of Christ? What value is that information to the church? You see, and you see, I felt sad when one person in the MPP was interviewed on a station and said that, oh, they've given their polls results to some prophets, and that's what they are using to. I was so devastated when I heard that. You see, it makes the whole prophetic thing like a mockery and a joke. So now they will come and say that, yes, but we give them the polls and that's what they were using. So now they now mock your prophetic gifts. They are mocking, you say you're a prophet, but the politicians now have the audacity to laugh at you and mock because they fed you with information to use for your prophecy. I mean, how? Why? I mean, it's just so unfortunate how we can drag the name of God into unnecessary things. I mean, what is the value of this to the body of Christ? What is the value? And seriously, it's time Christians realize that the world is just looking at the church, and sometimes we are not making Christianity something attractive enough for them to want to be, because it's like as if we just don't know what we are about sometimes. Today, yes, the results will come and it's obvious where it's going, and I'm just waiting to hear what these politicians, those whose mouths are, you know, what they are going to say against the prophets who got it wrong. I just can't wait to hear how they'll describe them. And you see, it's sad how we are making the body of Christ look like, oh, I mean Christians, pastors, prophets, that you should be concentrating on the real work, the work of God, and what God says you should say. Now politicians are influencing people and then, you know, bringing them to their churches, and then, oh no, we can't make Christianity this way. No. I just can't imagine Apostle Paul and Peter and co in the early church, and then a Roman centurion will go to their church and go and do what? I mean, he's going campaign and then say that Peter should prophesy that he is winning in a Caesar's appointment or something. I mean, how can that happen? In the early church, just imagine, can you imagine it happening under the early apostles? So why are we entertaining this in the body of Christ these days? Why are we entertaining this in the churches? Even unbelievers, we entertain unbelievers to come and stand at the podium and then pretend to be Christians, and we think it's a joke and it's funny and it's interesting. It's a shame. It's a big shame to the body of Christ for us to pretend this thing is nothing. Pretend as if, I mean, we can just joke with God's name. We can just joke with the body of Christ. We can joke with God's church. The church is not for us. The church is. See, sometimes pastors forget that the church is not for them. Christ is the head of the church.
He is the head. And you are just, pastors are just caretakers. It doesn't matter whether you built the church with your own money or whatever. The actual head, the actual owner, Christ, is the head of the church. If you want to claim ownership of the church, go and die on your cross as well and then redeem yourself, resurrect, and then start your own thing. But so far as you cannot do that, you cannot claim ownership of Christ's church. And yet, people are just using the name of God for all sorts of things, denigrating the body of Christ, denigrating the name of Jesus, and non-believers are just making fun of it and lumping all the prophets into one, as if every prophet is like those who are doing these things. But yet there are true genuine ones who are not engaging in these comedies of politics. But yet, you see, the unbeliever sometimes does not understand the spiritual issue. So they think the fact that you call a prophet, but that's not how it is. That's not what is happening. But at the end of the day, they just tag Christianity as a religion of jokers, because that's how sometimes it looks like. Okay, let me get into the news and proceed from there. All right, so just a few news items, and then I'm sure by now you've heard about the, quite an interesting name though, the Nipah virus. I mean, I've talked about it. It's read, it's said a few times, a few years, and then we talked about it briefly. But looks like it's happening in a bigger scale this time around. Sort of, it started in India. And you know, let's just be aware that so far as this world is concerned, there are people who wish evil. They wish that the world population will reduce, more people will die, these pandemics would ravage societies and all that. This is the reality of the world we live in. There are people who wish that. So they would want to take advantage of any least opportunity they get. Should that really be possible, they will push it. And one thing we should guard against is the fear factor. The fear factor. Because they pushed it so well during the COVID and it worked for them. Should this Nipah virus then cross beyond the Indian border and start moving into other countries, be aware that they will use that same strategy, and even worse if possible. Fear. They will push the fear button again for it to, you know, cause the population to be afraid. And when people are afraid, people become vulnerable and manipulate. You can easily manipulate. And that's what they did. I mean, now the results are there. The scientific reports are showing U.S. Senate or Congress, they've done several interviews of experts, from vaccine producers to experts in health and all that. And it's clear that this whole COVID vaccine thing, they just, you know, it was a money thing. It was a money thing. The consequences are dire. I mean, people, if you read some of the reports, it's very, very unfortunate how people can use money to do such things. People have been maimed, people have died and all. And they didn't even test it. They lied. And all these things are coming out. You see, so we should know how these people operate and do their things in the world. That they would push the narrative to the point where it's as if you, the one saying the truth, are rather the evil one. And that's what they did. We saw it in Ghana. As if those who don't want to take the vaccine are rather the demons who, it's like, they spin it and all that. I remember so well, Kojo Opon Kroma, Minister for Information that time. And this is the old, you hear some of the way they'll be talking. I say, hey, this people. You know, I remember listening to one radio station, one show, and the morning show, the guy, the host was really pushing, saying this deadly strain has come and all that. And it's like, I remember so well, because at that time, Achimota School had reported a number, 100 and something or so, of a particular strain that came, one of those, is it Delta or something, something. And the report said no student had died. They were all, they were fine. I mean, it's not something that's like people are in intensive care and they were dying or something. But this reporter was on this show
and was paint is a deadly one. It's like making a very fearful description. So I know the producer for that show, and I sent him a message that, Jack, so why this alarming, fearful description of this thing? That's not the case. And his response was, this, you know, they knew what they were doing. They were intentionally pushing fear into people. And one senior CNN producer, he revealed this himself after those times, and at one restaurant with some other people, he was confessing that they had to let people fear so that people can be controlled, they will stay home and all those things. So they intentionally write every day the number of people who were dying. Sometimes they inflated the numbers and all that. And it's like, you know, this is the world we are in. Truth is subject to somebody's interpretation of, well, this is what I want people to know, and I want people to fear, so just lie to them. And there are reports. So let's be aware of this, that it will not be long you start hearing those fearful descriptive things about, hey, this is happening, this is there, hey, this number of people are dying, you know, this. We should guard our hearts that fear does not take over. That's the least we can do as Christians. As you hear about this Nipah virus, then let's guard against fear at all costs. All right, so let's get into the news. And yeah, I mean, this evening, these things have been really disturbing me. That's why I wanted to talk about it before I proceed with the news, else I may not be able to the times. Top doctor issues an urgent warning to Australia amid outbreak of world's deadliest virus in India. What's that to you? Australia has been advised to tighten border measures for travelers arriving from India's West Bengal after a Nipah virus outbreak prompted several Asian countries to introduce new precautions. India's National Center for Disease Control confirmed on Tuesday that two cases of the virus had been detected in the eastern state of West Bengal since December. The confirmed outbreak of the world's deadliest infectious disease, which makes COVID look like a glorified cold, has come as global celebrations for the Lunar New Year are in full swing. Zoonotic diseases expert Wang Linfa said there was no need for panic. Did you hear that? Noting that previous Nipah outbreaks in Malaysia, Bangladesh, and Philippines and India had been contained without spreading further. Yet, we are hearing a different set of signals in the news. You know, this is how they play the game. All right, then we have, you know, for instance, if really they want to even stop this thing, why allow travel from those places to other countries? Control it so that people, until you minimize the whole thing, no travel from India to any other country. Well, it will affect the economy though, but you are saving the world. But then we'll allow it to happen, and then it will spread to every part of the world. And then now we say, oh, okay, we want to do this, we want to do that. Well, that's how I see this thing. Now, doomsday clock ticks closer to midnight over global threats, according to the group. The world is closer to destruction than ever before. The bulletin of the atomic scientists, the group behind the doomsday clock, argued. It added that the infamous clock is set at 85 seconds to midnight. The group cited risks of nuclear war, climate change, and misuse of biotechnology, and the potential threat of artificial intelligence as reasons behind the clock's movement toward the end. A year ago, we warned that the world was perilously close to a global disaster, and that any delay in reversing course increased the probability of catastrophe. Rather than heed this warning, Russia, China, and United States and other major countries have instead become increasingly aggressive, adversarial, and nationalistic. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists said in its 2026 Doomsday Clock statement. They said that too, but well, if you look at the trend, the way things are going in the world,
The world is getting closer to indeed a world war. I mean, it's becoming clearer by the way the happenings in the northern part of the world, in Europe, US, Asia, China, all this Russia thing, because you know the world is moving closely. If you follow the way things are going, the statements being made and all that. But you know, the good thing for Africa is when they start fighting out there and they start throwing the bombs out there, it will not reach here. So we will be here in our safe zone and they will be rushing to come back home. They will be rushing to come for safety or safe zones in Africa. Well, God help the world then. U.S. military tells key Middle East ally to prepare for attack on Iran. According to a recent report from the Drop Site News, the United States and Israel are reportedly coordinating on a potential series of imminent strikes against Iran, following a period of extreme regional escalation that has already seen direct U.S. military intervention in the country. This developing situation follows the precedent set by Operation Midnight Hammer in June 2025, when U.S. B-2 stealth bombers targeted and severely damaged Iran's nuclear facilities at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. The current tension is largely driven by a combination of Iran's refusal to halt its nuclear enrichment program and a violent domestic crackdown on protesters that has claimed thousands of lives. And this protest, then last week I mentioned about this week, I mean, according to the reports that they are gathering, the numbers are way beyond 30,000. And it's like, to kill 30,000 plus of your own citizens, it's like you are not a human being to be instructing that. Iran deploys army of 1,000 military drones on standby as fears of imminent U.S. attack intensifies. So Iran is poised to respond to a potential U.S. air strike after reportedly deploying 1,000 new strategic drones across its military forces, Iran's state news agency said, which is connected to the country's Revolutionary Guard Corps, reported the news of the strategic military move. Tasnim added that no images are available to protect military secrets. The modernization of Iran's military technologies comes as President Donald Trump sent an armada of warships to the Gulf Coast in what experts describe as a major escalation in the region. Trump declared on Truth Social on Wednesday that the armada headed by the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln would yield a far worse attack than Operation Midnight Hammer, which was the code name for the U.S. massive airstrikes on Iran's nuclear program last June. Then we have former pastor. Former pastor and one-time church planter in New York publicly defends her return to adult entertainment industry. Okay, let me just use her first name. Crystal, a former pastor and New York church planter, has publicly explained her decision to return to the adult entertainment industry after earlier leaving that world and entering Christian ministry, according to church leaders' reports. She spent roughly a decade in pornography before her conversion to Christianity, during which time she appeared in more than 100 adult films. After finding faith, she married a Pentecostal minister, helped lead New Beginnings Christian Church, and served in pastoral leadership. Over time, however, she and her then-husband stepped away from their ministry roles and they later divorced. Despite no longer leading a church, she remains an ordained minister and continues to identify with her Christian faith. Her announcement that she would launch an OnlyFans account and return to producing adult content stirred controversy and debate among Christians. She framed the decision as one rooted in personal freedom and a response to what she described as harsh judgments from some churchgoers. she asserted that only God can judge her, and expressed frustration with the expectations placed on pastors' behavior and appearance by parts of the church community. Reflecting on her experiences in ministry, she said that she found judgment within the church to be a significant challenge, and she questioned the rigid standards that were often applied to pastors' personal lives. Her return to adult in entertainment has reignited discussions about grace, repentance, and how faith communities respond to people with complex pasts. Let me just read from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And maybe that you see, I think it's where is it? Okay, so 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, and in this case, bishop is a leader, so it can be a pastor, office of a pastor, any church leader, not necessarily a bishop as we know, like the high rank bishop. So this verse applies to any church leader, a pastor, evangelist, apostle. This verse applies to all this chapter. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. that lady has to read this verse, this chapter. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, no greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy liquor, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that use the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me just end here. So for this former pastor to say that the church has a high standard of who pastors should be and how they should live means she doesn't even read the Bible. Because there's a high standard to be a leader in the church. So, you know, this thing is this is the world we are in. And these are the times Jesus warned about. These are the times Paul warned about. We are seeing it in real in our times. And some of these things, yes, it's painful and worrying when you hear it, but it also fulfills that the word of God is true. Because if we don't hear about these things too, then it means the word of God too is not true. So for the word of God to be true, there will also be these people, the false ones, as the Bible talked about, the pretenders, all of them. They have to be there. They have to show their faces for us to know that the word of God is true. So it's unfortunate, but well, these are the realities of the word of God, and it stands sure. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not about the standard you set for what it should be. The word of God has set the standard already. So if you cannot meet that standard as a pastor or as a church leader or as a Christian or whoever you are as the faith, you are the problem. You have the problem. But it's not the body of Christ that has a problem of high standards or the word of God that has a problem with high standards. No. You have to check yourself and fix yourself. Because the standard will not be lowered. No. The standard in the word of God stands sure. Nobody is going to lower it that previously this was the measurement. If you do this, it's a grave sin. Now, well, in modern days, things have advanced. So let's lower it. So now
some people are trying to do that, but they are just deceiving themselves. The fact that you lower the standard in your mind, or you saying it, does not mean it has been lowered by God. No. The God who judges all things has not lowered the standard. The marking scheme, it's just like you are writing an exam. You learn and say that, oh, this question, this how it has to be answered. So I'll answer it this way. By all means, I should get it correct. But the marking scheme belongs to the examiner. He has the marking scheme, he or she. So if he says you should write it this way and you didn't write it that way, it doesn't matter how you think it should be. It would not matter. You will not get the marks. So the earlier we avert our minds to the fact that we don't hold the marking scheme for God. No. The standard has been set in His word. It's either we agree to go by it, or if we can't, we can go our own way. But then we shouldn't blame somebody or people or the word of God as if the word of God is harsh. It's not harsh. No. The word of God is not harsh. We humans are the ones who are making it difficult for the word of God to be what it is, because we are not ready to leave the world fully. It's like we are playing a dual game. One leg in the world, one leg in the church. And we want to satisfy both ways, both sides. You know, like this woman, how can you say you want to go into the entertainment, adult entertainment industry, and still hold on to your Christian faith? I mean, how? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So if people say this is wrong, it doesn't work that way, you see, they are being so judgmental. It's better for human beings to judge you righteously to save you from hell than to say that, oh well, they shouldn't say anything, and they look on, and then you go and crash and go to hell. It's better they say it. All right, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be back after this song. Okay.
Said it was good.
Yeah, but not $1 million good.
Found the cross was called $1 million.
It's good, but you can't expect $1 million for it.
There is often a great difference between the reward we expect from it and what we deserve.
So you didn't get the job as an airplane engineer?
Yeah, I even showed him this paper airplane.
It's not Throughout our existence, we deal with all kinds of bad news.
Wow, Bob, this is a really nice ring, but can't we just be friends?
You're right, officer. I was speeding, and I'd like to thank you for bringing this small error to my attention. Sign here? Oh, okay.
Mr. Smith.
Well, what do the test results say, Doc? Am I gonna live?
Why don't you have a seat?
What? I don't want a seat.
But are you prepared for the worst news of all?
What do you mean you're not letting me into heaven?
You have sinned.
What? I have not. That just depends on how you define sin.
Not meeting God's standard of moral perfection?
Oh.
The Bible says we have all sinned, but the good news is God sent His Son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. By accepting God's gift of forgiveness, He will remove our sins and see us as morally perfect. Have you accepted His gift? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back. This is Eben, and the program is Issues of Life. The station is Spirit 88.3 FM. Perhaps this is your first time listening to this station. You are driving through Kumasi, and you are just tuning the radio, and it has fallen here. Well, this is a Christian station in Kumasi, and we give you the best of everything Christian, from the sermons to the music to the discussion programs. And this program comes every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. every Saturday. And yeah, so this evening you are listening to this edition of Issues of Life. Emmanuel says that, Reuben, it's not about the church. These prophets want to glorify themselves for people to see they are powerful. No addition to the body of Christ. It's all about themselves. Self-glorification. Self, I said it first. Oh. Mrs. Ampertune says, hey, God have mercy on this pastor. Serious, oh. Serious. It's very disheartening sometimes when you hear some of the things, and you know, somebody just backsliding or just leaving the faith quietly is, but this one, when they hold such positions leading a church, and then when they are also leaving, they won't leave quietly, but they leave with noise, like, yes, I used to be a pastor. Now I'm no longer. I'm now going here. I mean, what is the import of this whole thing? Seeking followers from the church to follow you to where you are going, or what? Okay, so let's get into some Bible. And I'm reading Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, so last week I started talking about the fact that, yes, it's good to pray, it's good to fast. The beginning of the year, fasting and prayer programs all over the place. But then, last week I said people have to ask questions. That I've been doing this every year, this cycle every year. But what is the output? Does it reflect in the year? Like, people pray for this, pray for that, but the year ends, they look back and it's like nothing has happened. Sometimes the year ends and it's like they're even worse off than they started the year. And it's like, does this whole prayer thing work? Does it work at all? Does this fasting work at all? But then this series I'm on, there are a number of points I'll be talking about. It's not that the prayer is not working or the fasting is not working. Oftentimes, we ignore the aspect that has to do with us, the individuals. As for God, He does His part if we really align with His will, His will, His promises, we believe, we have the faith, all these things we'll talk about. But then, oftentimes, there are other things we ignore. And yet these things are also very powerful enough to undermine the fasting and the prayers that we make at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, the end of the year. And sometimes it makes it seem as if prayer and fasting is not powerful again. But then we are the issue. This evening, I'm talking about the issue of time, the time component. You know, it's unfortunate, but in Ghana, we waste too much time on useless things. Yes, I'm using the word useless because a whole lot of things that we waste time on, it doesn't add any value to us. It doesn't add any significant value to our lives. But yet, look at the time that people invest and waste on these things. And then the year will end and it's like, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that and all that, and God didn't that and all. But you see, as the saying goes, time is money. And the issue is, what you do in the time you have, the time you use to do something, is what you are paid for, or that's what you make money out of, that time. So time is indeed money, but how well do you use the time to make the money? Somebody who use the same time to do something and get 100 Ghana cedis. Somebody who use that same, the same 24 hours or the same one day, working day, 8 hours, and work and get 1,005. Somebody who use that same time and get 300 cedis. Somebody who use. So, as for the time is available, but how you use it and what you do within that time is what will determine the output or the outcome, the money that you get out of it. So if you waste the time consistently, how then do you expect to be blessed? And yet you pray that at the beginning of the year, God bless me, let my year be prosperous. But then the money will not come from heaven, no. It's going to come through human beings, through the blessings of God, the favors and all that. But it just doesn't come oftentimes like that, like just free money, as so somebody calls you and just dashes you money. It can happen, but it's not the norm. But then often you pray, God bless the work of my hands. But if you are not using your hands to do any work at all, where would the blessings come from? But oftentimes the waste of the time. So you'd have Christians who finish praying and fasting at the beginning of the year, and yet now we have research that shows that some of the Gen Z's are spending as much as 5 hours on TikTok and YouTube videos and social media and all that. 5 hours a day. 5 hours. 5 hours of productive day is being wasted on TikTok and videos, short videos. To me, this week I was telling somebody that the worst technological invention in our time now is not, I don't fear AI. I mean, because I rather fear and get worried about short videos than what AI will do to humanity. What short videos will do to humanity is worse than what AI can do to humanity, because virtually people's lives are just being drained and wasted away in the name of short videos. So people are just wasting their time on short videos. They take the phone, but then realize 2 hours gone, 3 hours gone on just short videos. And even that, there are neurological reports, scientific reports now that shows that it's even affecting our brains, because it affects, like, people, the thinking, the way the brain is wired. Those short consistently, short videos consistently, it's affecting the way we think. It's affecting the way people process information. So, you see, a lot of these things, we are harming ourselves unconsciously. But so far as those who develop these systems, so far as they are concerned, this day they're after the money. It's all about spending more time on their systems to the point that the longer the time you spend there, the more adverts and all you'll be exposed to. And that's where they make their billions of dollars from. So they don't care about the effect on your brain, the dopamine effect on how you think, and the excitement you get out of the chemicals in your brain that are short-lived. So it hooks you and makes you addicted to always keep watching, keep scrolling, but there's no satisfaction. This is the harm and the time wasting that is happening in our Gen Z generation, our time now. It's sad, but even some adults are falling to it. I mean, are falling for it and all. So we are wasting time on these things that had no value to our lives. I mean, short videos, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, but at the end of the day, the time is gone. And then nothing is there to show for a whole day. January has ended. I mean, effectively, January is over. But then there are people who would look at the month of January and it's like, it's a complete waste. And it's like, so this whole year, so far the year has started, January, there's nothing to show for. It's just a series of wasted days from January 1st to 31st. If you are to account for the hours you've spent on social media, YouTube videos, TikTok videos, Instagram reels, all these short video, the, if you calculate from January 1st to 31st today, the hours you have spent on these videos, it will amaze you. Try doing it yourself. Try calculating on the average. You try calculating it and look at how you've wasted time and even resources, because it's money. The data is money. You know, so something is stealing our time and people are not paying attention to it. People have become so addicted, even in church. In church, people are watching TikTok videos. It's serious. In church, people are watching TikTok videos. It's like they just can't, their eyes should be seeing something. It's like they should be seeing something. They should be seeing something all the time. And this is the neurological effect, that one of the consequences. It's like the brain is being rewired or has been rewired for some people. So if they don't see it, you see, that is what is keeping them going. Their satisfaction is in that. So the dopamine feeling, the chemical in the brain that gives satisfaction. You know, I've said it here several times on when you talk about these devices and effects and all that. The user of cocaine, heroin, or drugs, these hard drugs, you see, that feeling, good feeling of high, making them high, that they feel good, it comes from this chemical in the brain, dopamine. Now, research shows and confirms that the same feeling is exercise. I mean, people get that same thing, that same dopamine effect is what happens to people when they are on social media, the expectation of what they, you know, how they feel there, people liking what they, oh, okay, feeling good. And then they watching these short videos, they get the excitement out of it. And then the addiction, because addiction builds as a result of that. And we are seeing it playing out right before our eyes. So we are wasting time, and one report I read, it said it's creating a brain rot. Brain rot is happening. I mean, like, technically, to people, because the way we think is being affected because of these short videos. So we are harming ourselves as well, not just wasting the time, we are even harming ourselves, you know. But let's not forget, we've prayed beginning of the year, we've prayed, people are still even fasting, we are still fasting in churches and all, and yet in one hand we are expecting God to do wonders, God to move, God to prosper us, God to do this and this and that. On the other hand, we are by our actions telling God that, God, we are not ready for your prosperity, we are not ready for your blessing, we are not ready for your promotion, we are not ready for your whatever, we are not ready for it. So we are praying and fasting and telling God, God, this, but our actions are also at variance with what we are expecting from God. So at the end of the day, we won't get it from God, because God also sees that you are not ready for it indeed, because your actions speak louder. If you spend all your free time only on social media and TikTok, you are not serious for God to bless you, God to give you job opportunities, because you are going to disgrace God. I mean, because you can't even concentrate. People are being sacked from their workplaces because it's like they just can't perform because of these same things. Their concentration is on the video, the phone, and they are just to go home. This is happening. This is the reality of this generation. For the unbelievers, I don't care about how, what they do and all, but my issue is about Christians. I'm talking about Christians. This discussion is about Christians. We shouldn't just pray and fast and then finish it and come and undermine this same prayer and fasting by doing things that negates all the fasting and the prayer we are doing. Because if we cannot manage our time as a resource effectively, you know, someone said once that if someone, I mean, he's given the offer of a certain amount of money and then given a number of days, like which one would he choose? Then he said he'd rather choose the days, the time, because he believes with his experience and his exposure and everything, he can make more money with that free time in the days than the money he's been given. So he values the time more than the money. And it means a lot. And actually, that's the truth. As to how you use the time that you have, it's purely dependent on you. Somebody would use, or some people have used January effectively, January 1st to 31st to 9th. They can look back on the month of January, thank God, and say that, yes, it's been a good month. Because they use the month productively. Others will look at January and it's like the month has been a wasted month because they've just wasted the whole month on frivolous and invaluable things. So time, and see, when you need time at the most, that's when time. So it's just 9 o'clock. So time is not our friend right now. We just have to close, end this edition. So time. Let's use our time effectively this year. We cannot just pray and fast and finish and go and waste our time, because God doesn't work that way. He expects us to use our time productively. Time is one of the things that we should not take for granted this year. God willing, next week we'll be continuing with this discussion and this series. So I'm Eben. God willing, next week you come your way. Good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.